Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Mets haters are out again. They love when they see bad Mets news now that Juan Soto has moved from the Yankees to the Mets. The Yankee fan is just laughing at the Mets. Oh, looks like you got another injury in your rotation. Ooh, I guess David Stearns maybe has to go out there and actually pay a pitcher now because Sean Manaea probably, most likely, starting the season on the IL with an oblique strain. You add that to the Frankie Montas news, and it's a little bit of a rough start news-wise for a Mets rotation. But, hey, thank God the baseball season is 2 years long, and you don't have to worry about these things that you're worried about in February. Generally, you don't have to worry about them when it's an oblique strain, when there's no structural damage in there. All right, maybe he's back in middle April, May, worst-case scenario. It's a long season. The Mets are going to be fine. You don't have to worry about it. So haters, back up. Worry about your own Giancarlo Stanton mess, because I don't even know what the hell's going on with him. Comes back to New York. He's got two elbows, and they say it's a personal thing. Who knows? We got that. Plenty more. I know you're jacked up for your Islanders-Rangers matchup tonight as well. We were talking about that before the show. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Good morning.
Oh, the microphone. Hello.
Good morning, Jay. The regular season doesn't start until March 27th.
That's right.
I mean, we're a month away from it. That's so right. I'm sure there are going to be more injuries, and there are going to be more struggles. There'll be a little bit more adversity. David Stearns will figure it out. The Mets will figure it out. And away we go. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. This is going to it happens every year. They carry like 30 pitchers into spring training for a reason. This is why. You know, the other thing, too, is I wonder what these guys do in the offseason. I mean, that really makes me wonder what they do in the offseason, how they work out. And I'm sure there are a number of guys that either go play winter ball,
yeah,
or, you know, really do work out quite a bit, and they work on their hitting, they work on their, maybe they work on some of their fielding. And for pitchers, I would think, you know, maybe you shut it down for about a month, and then you go through a throwing program so you can ramp up for spring training. And, you know, this is not an injury in terms of the elbow. This is an oblique injury. So that could happen to any one of these players. And normally I would say, depending on how severe it is, if it's a minor oblique injury, then you're probably looking at about 2 weeks.
Yeah, and they said there's no rib cage situation in there. Carlos Mendoza basically said that it's just it's all muscular. So even though he's not going to start the season on the active roster, he'll be on the IL. It's just they want to take time with him and ramp him up. I think it's just because it's starting so early in spring training, he's not going to be able to throw, and then he's got to get himself back in shape and ready to pitch. But you know, we will most likely. I mean, I'll knock on wood here, but most likely. Come, I don't know, Memorial Day weekend, we're not going to be thinking about this at all. And certainly not going to be thinking about it in October. He should be healthy. He should come back. He should have a really good year. I'm glad that they brought him back. I guess you'd be a little bit concerned. He threw the most innings in his career last year. Now he's coming back here, but he's going to be all right. But I mean, the reason why I think that the Yankee fan who's back with that like pure Mets hatred right now after yes. the Soto thing, yeah. I think the reason why they like this is because David Stearns doesn't put
a lot of emphasis on the rotation. And the Yankees do have a better rotation on paper than the Mets do. So when you see now two injuries like this, you know, they could poke at the weak spot. Like, oh, you little boy genius, man, he's trying this again, huh? Not really working. You know, the Yankee fans are doing the boomer, what did I tell you? What did I tell you? Here you go. Both us is hurt. But I is hurt.
Well, maybe they were right in some respect, but we're right also because Giancarlo Stanton's hurt again.
Yeah, weird.
I mean, like, and I don't want to make fun of anybody, especially somebody that's been dealing with something like tennis elbow in both elbows, which is strange, especially the way he is built. And, you know, whatever his personal issues are there, he's got to take care of them. And they're going to allow him to do that, which is the correct thing to do, depending on how significant it is. Hopefully it's nothing too serious and that it, you know, requires his attention for a couple of days and hopefully he'll get back. But I, you know, again, it's a month until the season starts, and to get wrapped up into any of this stuff in like, if you told me Juan Soto, you know, broke an ankle or something and was going to miss, you know, 3 months of the season, then I'd say, yeah, I'm worried. But that's not the case. And you know what I would say? The same thing with Giancarlo Stanton. I would think that, you know, he will, I don't know, maybe he'll miss the first, I guess, couple weeks of the season, I think. But you know, they're expecting him to fight through this just like he had to fight through it last year.
Yeah, it's a little bit strange, though, the news with that yesterday, because at first it was he's going to go back and see Dr. Ahmad, who is a Yankees doctor and surgeon, who is, you know, well-renowned and respected, of course. And then Aaron Boone came out and said that he's going back to New York because of personal reasons.
Well, maybe he could be doing both.
Yeah, it could be a little double dip.
I would think if you want to go see the doctor, this is the doctor go see, get some imaging on it and get a little bit clearer answer as to what maybe he's dealing with. If it's something more than just tennis elbow. And then number two, he could also take care of his personal business, whatever that may be.
Yeah, now this is something, I know you love these numbers and stuff.
Yeah, bring me the numbers. I want to hear the numbers.
I know you love these numbers.
Yes.
You know, so you get a lot of, on both sides, Met and Yankee fans are like, Yankee fans say, go out and get a third baseman. Who cares about the money? You know, you got to fill that hole. Now maybe the Mets fan's going to say, pull the trigger on a trade for a starting pitcher. You got two injuries there. You got to add to the staff.
Don't the Mets fans want Dylan Cease?
Yeah. I mean, that's a guy from
San Diego
yes, that you'd have to trade for, yes. So this, people say no salary cap in baseball, which is technically true. But this competitive balance tax is essentially
the Cohen tax.
Yeah. So I just want to make sure.
It should be the Dodgers tax.
Yeah, it really should be at this point. But the Mets payroll right now.
Okay.
$315 million, right?
God okay. bless our owner.
So the competitive balance tax this year, $241
million. Yeah, so look at how much money they're spending.
Right, so the penalties now, though, you go $60 million or more over. And is this $60 million or more? It's $241 million. Yeah. $315 million, yeah, yeah, 60 yeah, million or more.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a 60% surcharge.
Yeah.
Now, I don't see another level of that on this. This is from MLB.com. All right? I don't see another level past that. So that says to me, unless I'm missing something, and this is the official Major League Baseball website, that if they add to the payroll, it's really not, you're not going to get another level of charge.
No, but you're still going to get charged.
You're still getting charged.
Yeah, the overall number, yeah, that you're over.
But it
so
goes
you're
from.
You're still increasing that.
You're increasing that, but here's the thing. You're not.
I think like teams like the Pirates and Tampa Bay Rays are very happy about that.
Yes.
Keep spending.
But what the point is that 20 to 40 million over, 12% surcharge, 40 to 60 million. 42.5%, 60 million or more, 60%. So it's not going up another level. You're just getting charged at 60% on a higher number if you bring in somebody else, right?
Right.
Okay.
All right. So, but yeah, but right. here, let me just see if I can look at this on Spot Track.
Yeah.
Okay. So the Dodgers right now, their tax payroll, their current tax payroll right now, what the Dodgers are going to have to spend is $392,535,656. Almost $400 million.
Hey, Boomer, did you know that they've got a consortium worth $40 billion?
Yeah, I know. The New York Mets are second on this list with 25 players. The Dodgers have 27 players. The Mets have 25 players. Their tax payroll is $321,456,449. And then the next one would be the Phillies at $298.
And where are the Yankees?
The Yankees are fourth. They have a tax payroll current right now, $293,886,666.
All right, so the math here, let me just see. They haven't gone over $60 million then, right? Because it's 241. Yeah, they haven't gone over that.
Right, and right now the cap space for the Dodgers is minus $151 million. For the New York Mets, minus $80 million. For the Phillies, minus $57 million, meaning this is what it would take to get to like $60 million, right?
Yeah, so the Yankees
are minus $52
million. So the Yankees don't want to get to that next threshold, and that's why they were talking about trading Marcus Stroman being a thing they had to do.
He's making $18.5 million.
Yeah, prior to bringing in a third baseman. But for the Mets, they're already past the highest surcharge. It's just a matter of how much more they would add.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, they could. Both teams could add if they wanted to. I mean, it's not like there's anything stopping them other than money.
We get to the spring baseball. So, as only you can script it, it doesn't matter. It doesn't count. It's a spring game, and I get it. But I take you to Saturday with Howie Rose on Mets Odyssey Radio.
And now the 2-1 to Soto, hit in the air to deep center field. Back goes Leon onto the track. It is gone! Juan Soto in his first plate appearance as a New York Met, albeit in spring training, hits one over the wall in left center field.
Yeah, how about that?
Juan Soto!
Do you think Iglesias is coming back?
Well, with Nick Madrigal, he's got a separated shoulder or dislocated shoulder. So I don't know if that opens the door. I don't know.
All right, so am I the only one who thought this after he hit the home run? It can only get worse from here.
I did not think that.
Oh, I didn't want to think that. I was like, oh, okay.
I mean, he's going to hit some home runs. He's going to be good offensively.
I mean, come on. His first at bat, he hits a home run. I'm like, all right. That's great. Well, it is spring training.
He says it's a good sign for him doing what he did.
They got Soto. Oh my God.
Yeah, I know. You can't do.
If Iglesias is not on the team, you can't do it.
Again. Somewhat cheese whiz wise.
But that's not the team doing it. That's the fans doing it.
Yeah.
A little bit different. You know, the fans are always going to have, there's going to be cheesy fans. When the organization, if the organization was handing out Soto OMG things, we'd have a problem with that because Iglesias, they don't even want on the team.
Well, they want him on the team.
They just don't
want to give him a 2-year deal. They want to give him a 1-year deal. Come on.
I guess. Here was Gary, Keith, and Ron on SNY over the weekend as they were showing pickleball in Florida. Very big activity down there. It was a man who was pretty fit, and then a woman who was pretty fit as well.
Pickleball.
Need we say anything more?
It's
Keith, quiet.
What are they doing? I'm distracted.
Yeah.
Probably breasts.
Yeah.
That's what everybody assumed he was talking about, which I think he probably was. But yeah.
Assume. People blew it up and kept reposting it.
Yeah.
I mean her, of course.
I mean, generally, the pickleball down in Florida is with very old people, you know, that end up going to the orthopedic surgeons afterwards. These two were, you know, models.
I got to tell you, though, watching the game, there was a great advertisement behind home plate where it said, "Come live where the Mets train." I scanned the little QR code.
Did you?
I did.
Moving to Port St. Lucie, huh?
No, but you know what? It sounded like a great idea at the time.
I think Port St. Lucie has done a really good job of building itself up in the last number of years.
We were there last year. It's beautiful.
When I went there, like years ago, when I was like 18, there was nothing there. There was like one restaurant.
There was a strip mall.
And it was like Jensen's Ale House. And like Ed Coleman would go there every night. And that was it. But now it's
you know what they have there? They have the Tiger Woods putting green miniature golf course.
Oh, wow.
Where there are real gigantic greens. And it's actually pretty cool. It's I don't want to call it like Top Golf, but they've got the bar and everything, and it's pretty neat, actually.
You retiring in Florida, though, is too much on brand for you. You're going to go somewhere like in Alaska, Oregon, or somewhere
like
that.
I could see South Carolina.
Yeah, Texas.
I do like Texas a lot. And Arizona, I like a great deal. I would love to go to Arizona and then just come back here in the summer. to see family. I think that would be kind of cool. But no, Florida, I think, is kind of out. It's too much rain.
Hurricanes.
A lot of rain in Florida. And well, and hurricanes, yeah, too. Here was, they also showed, so you had the pickleball and the woman in the bikini. Then they showed a nice guy who wasn't bothering anybody, just out there in the ocean paddleboarding. And Keith had a observation.
It's good for the abdominals there. That's a good exercise for the tummy. Looks like he can use it.
That wasn't necessary.
Man, but, these guys were on fire already.
Yeah, it's great.
Two games in, man, and they're just firing howitzers.
Yes, exactly.
I think next year is going to be, 20 years of them on, wow, SNY. Because it was 2006, I think, SNY started.
Oof.
Can you believe that?
No.
Wow.
No, I cannot. That sounds like too much time has passed too quickly. Yeah. And then since you guys brought it up and we've got the bearded helmet in here.
Yeah.
This was Hal Steinbrenner on Friday.
Oh, God.
Asked how he thinks his dad would react to the change in this facial hair policy.
And if something like this would detract from that, lessen our chances, I don't know. I think he might be a little more apt to do the change that I did than people think, because it was about winning.
She was like, listen, man, he's dead. What does it matter? He's been dead for a long time.
I don't think anybody said.
Yeah, but you know how it is. Everybody's like, what would George do?
I understand.
And
how
that's
it is.
The question that always surrounds the Yankees.
And always will until they win more. That is
what
true.
What does George do?
What does George do? Rangers played lousy on Saturday. Sunday, a different story.
Shot by Fox. He scores! Adam Fox gives the Rangers a 4-3 lead with 8.5 remaining.
And that was after Jimmy Vesey had tied the game in the third period. Rangers outscored Pittsburgh 3-2 in the third.
Yes. I sent Kenny Albert a text during this game.
Of course you did.
And I said, Kenny, this game sucks. And because the Rangers didn't have a shot on goal in the second period. They were like outshot like 16-0
at one
point.
Which is crazy.
And he goes, you know, Kenny's a professional. So for him, it's still a game. And he goes, but it's not the Four Nations. Because you could feel like this, the intensity is just not there yet. It will get there. Thank God they won the game, though. Jesus.
5-3 was the final score. The Devils did shut out the Predators 5-0. And the Stars edged the Islanders 4-3. Jason Robertson, the hat trick, all three goals coming in the second period. The Capitals beat the Oilers 7-3, notable because of one Alex Ovechkin.
2:40 to go in the third period. And a puck that comes to Ovechkin. He scores! He did it! It's a hat trick for Ovechkin!
And that was Capitals Radio with the call. 882 career goals now for Ovechkin. Wayne Gretzky sitting at 894. And so the ageless Ovechkin continues to do what he's done. The Capitals,
I'll tell you when they'll break the record.
Well, when they play the Rangers?
Yeah.
I figured you were going to say that, yes.
Definitely. Let's see when they play the Rangers next. If they do, I think.
Well, I mean, he's got 12 goals to go.
He's got 12 goals to go.
I believe he's on pace. Yeah.
So they play him 5 games from now.
Okay.
Down in Washington in March.
It's not going to be then.
You wouldn't think so.
You watch out.
You would not think so. And I think he's on pace. He's 20 games played less than Gretzky at this point.
Yeah.
And 12 goals behind. So
that's
very
the last
much on
time
par
they
with
play
the
Washington,
score.
By the way.
Oh, there you go. So likely will not be against the Rangers. And the Rams have given Matthew Stafford's agent permission to speak to other teams about his market value.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Yes, that line forms on the right, babe. Uh-huh. Not that Maggie.
On the Fan. Mick Monagle here with you on this Tuesday morning. Got you for 3 hours until the warm-up show at 5. 888-808-1019. We got Fleegs on the other side. And we're off to a rip-roaring spring training. Are we? Man, this is good stuff. It actually said 45 degrees driving in today. That was nice. Warming up a little bit. But both the New York Mets and New York Yankees dealing with significant injuries. One new, one we already knew about. We'll get to Stanton in a little bit, but we got to start with the Mets and Manaea. If you haven't heard, which I'm sure you have by now, it's been, I don't know, more than 12 hours ago. Sean Manaea of the New York Mets, obviously, in many ways, probably the ace of the staff. I know Kodai Senga and his ability hasn't pitched in a year, though, and how good was Manaea for the Mets down the stretch of last year, brought back again for another run at it, and he has now been sidelined with an oblique injury. And the timelines are all over the place, but let me just tell you this, right? Because you heard, like, obviously he's going down, and at the start of the year, a lot of us, myself included, right at the top of the list, had a lot of reservations about this Mets staff and trying to run it back in the same way they did last year with patchwork and one-year contracts and hopeful, you know, bounce-back seasons for career guys who've had, you know, decent careers, but looking for that bounce-back, the Severinos, the Manaea, which you got both, you got all of them, really. Peterson had arguably the best stretch of his career with the Mets. Obviously, Severino worked an unbelievable season and got a contract with the Athletics, and Manaea was incredible for them down the stretch and got another contract. And now you're looking at this rotation. At the beginning of the year, the GM told you he likes this rotation better, that the depth of this rotation is actually a positive and that it's far better than it was even last year. And I echoed his comments of, sure, the depth might be better when you look at the Griffin Cannings of the world and you look at, you know, Blackburn and you look at McGill. Sure, you're 6, 7, 8. It might be better than last year, but you still went about the rotation in a similar fashion. You're still counting on Kodai Senga at the top of the rotation, who hasn't pitched in a year. You're still going out and running out to give short-term contracts to pitchers who you're hoping to have bounce backs in Frankie Montas, and you're transitioning a failed closer, which I hate saying, but it's the truth, with Clay Holmes, and transitioning him into a starting pitcher. And you're relying on Sean Manaea and all that. And we know what the rotation was and the depth of it. And sure, fine, great, wonderful. Well, now you are a week and a half into spring training, and two arms are down. And Sean Manaea, as you heard yesterday, yeah, it's an oblique. And the idea that oblique is an injury that isn't that hard to heal. Like, you listen to the manager talk, well, he might be shut down for 7 days or 2 weeks or maybe 3 weeks, and then it's a build back up. Like, the idea that we know how long Manaea is going to be out. Let me tell you this, right? And this isn't just pessimism, and this isn't just, you know, the Yankee fan trying to tell the Met fan that it's all. You know who, if you don't listen to me, you know who tells you that these injuries last longer than what we initially say? The New York Mets, David Stearns. Because if you look at it, last year, what was Senga? Senga, oh, he's going to be back, you know, it's relatively soon. It's not that you didn't see him for how long? And then he gets hurt, obviously, in the first outing. You can't do anything about that necessarily, completely different injury. But we heard Senga was going to be that long. How long did it take? And David Stearns, just inherently, by the way he likes to build the starting rotation and how he views a starting rotation and his hard and fast rule not to give pitchers long-term contracts. Do you know why he believes that? Because pitchers get hurt, and the injury to pitchers typically lasts a hell of a lot longer than they initially do, than the initial reports. So the idea, and I know Evan was speculating this, and in his podcast I listened to a little bit, and the idea of, hey, listen, they were going with a six-man rotation. They still have Griffin Canning. They still have McGill, who doesn't have any more, who has one more option to go down to the minor leagues. But they've got Griffin Canning. They've got McGill. They've got Blackburn. You know, there's so many days off at the start of the year. You won't need a six-man in the rotation until you get to late April. This might not even impact. Let me tell you something right now. The idea that you can count on Sean Manaea to be back by the end of April because it's a minor oblique strain. Do you want to know how long guys have been absent from their team, or how long they've been on an IL stint because of an oblique? Aaron Judge missed 45, 50 games with an oblique. Missed 2 months with an oblique. And this is a starting pitcher who hasn't had a spring training and will have to get re-amped up and rebuilt up. You have no idea when Sean Manaea is going to pitch again. And again, I'm not the one telling you that pitchers are unreliable when it comes to health and IL stints and how long they're going to be out. The way the Mets build their rotation on all these short-term deals tell you how they feel about starting pitchers. They don't want to invest a lot of money in starting pitchers because this is the reality of the situation. So on one hand, I can complain about how they go about building their rotation, and I can tell you I wish I had more talent, and you can't just ignore starting pitching in free agency. And if you want to compete with the Dodgers and compete with the Phillies and compete with the Braves, it's not just about pounding the baseball. You have to pitch. And yes, last year's rotation was wonderful, excellent, incredible, amazing, any other superlative you want to throw at them. But to expect to continue to be able to put this rotation together with duct tape and short-term contracts and hoping for the best of players' careers and bounce back on players who've been in the tank for the last couple of years, that is a difficult way to go about building the rotation. But on the other hand, it's almost proof when you get these injuries that maybe they're thinking correctly, because God forbid you continue to pay some of these guys who are on the other side of 30 and you deal with this year in and year out. But here's the bottom line. Sean Manaea is no longer a guarantee to be in this rotation at the start of the season, right? He's going to miss at least a month he's going to miss most of April, if not all of April, and I can't count on him. And if you are going to build your rotation this way, this is where Stearns comes in. This is where the owner comes in. Because I'm sorry, it's just money. And I know they have options, and I'm sure we're all very excited to see Griffin Canning throw for the New York Mets. Hey, he did make 30 starts last year. None of them good, of course. But hey, he did make 30 starts. And Blackburn did have a stretch before getting hurt with the Mets where he was relatively okay. And McGill has shown you the ability to get some swing and misses. And hey, look at the depth. They talked about it. Here's using the depth. Well, now that depth is in the rotation. Now you're looking at a transitioning reliever being your third starter in Clay Holmes. Now you're looking at a pitcher who hasn't thrown the ball practically in a year and a half in Kodai Senga to be your ace. That's a lot of ifs, that's a lot of question marks, and that's a lot of hope heading into a season with expectations of winning the World Series. And by the grace of God, there is an answer out there to all of your problems. A pitcher who pitched to a 3.6 7 ERA with the New York Mets last year, a pitcher who was unbelievably great for them in the second half, who in my mind has had back-to-back seasons of ERA under 4, pitching very well for the New York Mets, and I am shocked he's still available and out there in Jose Quintana. And we could talk about the depth, and you don't need the rotation to be a six-man rotation until late into April, and you don't know if he's going to be gone for too long. And, you know, nobody liked the Montas signing anyway, and now it's the end of the world that he's not going to be there. And, you know, there's all these reasons why you don't have to go do it. Here's the bottom line. We're not going to know. We're not going to know what Manaea's timetable is until we get into it. Like, it's not one of these things, like, if he can't throw in a week, right? If he's not ready, and if you heard the manager, oh, he might be able to throw in 7 days, 14 days, 21 days. Well, what if it's 21? And now you're spinning your wheels, not doing anything under the guise of, well, listen, who knows when he'll be back? If you are going to build your rotation in a manner the Mets build it, which is short-term deals, which is not getting invested into long-term contracts with pitchers because you don't trust their ability to stay healthy. You're not going to give big money there. You're going to spend your money with your position players, and you're going to go with guys that you believe that you can find something in where your pitching lab can convert closers into starters. Your pitching lab can find the best years of players in their 30s career on short-term deals, and you're going to give two-year deals to Omar Minaya, and you're going to give short-term deals, Frankie Montas, give short-term deals to Sean Manaea, give a one-year deal to Severino to find all these gaps and find all these guys who can come up and make, you know, these starts, and you feel you can turn them into the best years of their career, and then you let them go and find the next guy that you can have the best year of his career. If you're going to treat it like that, that's fine. There's merit in it, and I can understand it, and there's even some smarts in it, of course. I get it, because pitchers do get hurt, and we'll see. Some of these pitching contracts are disastrous by the end of it. Very smart, very shrewd. From the very smart, very shrewd executive in David Stearns. But if that's how you're going to go about building your rotation, if that's how you're going to treat it, then you can't shy away from signing more one-year contracts when the injury bug hits. And that's on the owner. And I know he spent a hell of a lot of money. And I know he brought in Juan Soto to save the day. And I know he brought in and re-signed Pete Alonso, and the payroll's up to $326, and that's a hell of a lot of money. And especially for a fan base that doesn't show up at the ballpark. And I understand that's a lot of money. And I understand that every dollar he spends from this point on has 100% tax, and it's like paying him twice. But if you are going to treat your rotation as if it's a one-year stopgap and a one-year we'll fix you, come on in, then when you deal with injuries, when you suffer the injuries, when your long-term solution, when your long-term, you know, negativity shows why you have said opinion, then you have to adjust and add more one-year contracts. This is not a long-term thing for Quintana. You're not going to have to give Quintana a long-term contract. We're a week and a half into spring training. He doesn't have a job. He pitched very successfully for the Mets. He knows how good they are. We all understand what an unbelievable family environment that the Mets have created. Who wouldn't want to come play for the Mets? They're one of the best teams in baseball. That the excitement level is through the roof. They were in the NLCS last year, and they've only gotten better. He would welcome, as same thing with, obviously, OMG. We all know Candelita would do anything, move heaven and earth, have lunch with John Heyman just to become a Met. Quintana, you're going to get on a one-year cheap deal. There is no excuse not to go do it. And as Hal Steinbrenner, who's spending, what, $10, $15, $16 million less than Steve Cohen, is being called cheap to his face at every single turn, including by me. And we're going to get to that with the Stanton news. But as that owner is being called cheap and it's laughable and he's running his father's franchise into the ground and everything like that, the billionaire is sitting there at 326, a hell of a lot of money, had an incredible offseason. But if he's going to pay minimal pricing for starting pitching and he is not going to give more than a couple of years to any starting pitcher, and they are not going to attack free agency on pitchers over 30 years old and give 5-6 year contracts, if that's how they want to handle the rotation, fine. Fine. I'm open to it. Hell, I'm more than open to it. It was a success last year, and I think there's a lot of real good baseball sense into that process. But if you're going to plan like that, when injuries hit and now you are down two of your starting five, two. When you're competing with the Dodgers and you're competing with the Braves and you're competing with the Philadelphia Phillies and the San Diego Padres and the rest of a very difficult National League, you have to be open to fixing those holes with more one-year contracts. If you're going to treat it like one-year deals are the way to go, then the limit for the one-year deals should be theoretically endless. And a pitcher who has been successful for you, who had an incredible second half to the season last year for you, is still sitting there waiting to be poached. There is no reason, absolutely none, with an unknown timetable for Manaea. The manager can tell me all he wants that it could be only be 7 days without throwing. It could only be 10 days without throwing. It could only be 2 weeks without throwing. Hey, we could have him back here by tax day on April 15th. And at that point, you don't even need a sixth starter necessarily. Sure. You know why that's hard to sell to me? Because your GM treats the rotation like that news is BS. Because the general manager says, I'm not paying pitching because pitchers get hurt and they're unreliable. So when pitchers get hurt, don't tell me the injury is reliable because you don't believe that. And you've shaped your decision-making on your rotation based on it. And you don't know what his timetable is until you get into it. And who knows how long Quintana is going to be sitting out there or how long it's going to take him to get going by the time you make that decision. Make the decision now. Bring him in. What's the worst case scenario? Dead weight on the team where he doesn't pitch? He's a long man in the rotation? What's the worst case scenario? McGill has another option to be sent down. You send down McGill. You have him waiting in the minor leagues. And you get Quintana ready for his start. And if Quintana pitches well, he never leaves the rotation. And if he pitches poorly, when the injuries come back, he's gone. And all it's cost you is money for an owner with endless pockets. You're not trading assets. You're not trading prospects. All you're doing is adding payroll. And if you're going to treat the rotation the way they treat it, then act like it. One-year deals are the way to go. No such thing as a bad one-year contract. Who cares about how much money it costs this owner? Who cares? And this is the year. He shouldn't care either on a short-term one-year deal for a pitcher who's already done it for him, a pitcher who's earned equity, a pitcher you can make the argument that I'm paying him a little bit for what he's done in the past and feel okay about it. Now is the time to go out there and get the pitcher because I don't care what the... And I'm not saying that... The manager is lying. He might believe that. That's might what he'd be told. It's not impossible it's a month, but it's very unlikely. And David Stearns tells you that in how he handles the rotation. So be consistent. Treat it like there's no such thing as a bad one-year contract and bring in someone who has done it for you, did it for you last year, knows the team, and can stabilize this rotation and the depths of the Blackburns and the Cannings and the McGills. This is the year to go win a championship. And this is just money. 888-808-1019. Mick Monagle here with you on The Fan. We'll get to, obviously, the news of Stanton where he's going back to New York. Early on, we thought it was based on the elbow injury to go see a doctor. Now we're hearing the likes of which of, you know, hey, it's a personal issue. And the Yankees are no stranger to sending mixed messages when it comes to injuries, so who knows what to believe. But I will tell you, the Yankees, as I scream about the owner for the Mets spending money, the arguments can be very similar when we get to them. 888-808-1019. We'll also spin the wheel of culture quarterbacks that the Jets should bring in instead of Aaron Rodgers. We'll get to the, obviously, the other quarterback situation. We talked a little bit about it yesterday, but Matthew Stafford out there exploring trades, and the Giants have been linked to him every which way. Other quarterbacks like Shedeur Sanders the Giants have been linked to are not going to work at the combine, so we got a lot to do. Yeah!
And this Manaea injury, I'm just, you know, just looking at this here. So, I mean, the Mets' plan, as you know, was to go to a six-man rotation. That was the initial plan. And, you know, I've been on the record. I like the Mets' lineup better than I like their staff. I don't love their staff. I really like the lineup. You know, I don't know that this necessitates, in their mind, like a further urgency to, you know, go make a move for Dylan Cease or something like that. But, yeah, you got to be careful here because you look at what remains of the rotation. Well, just look at the rotation the way it was. Manaea, Senga, Peterson, Holmes, and Frankie Montas, right? So Montas put an X through his name. He's out for a while. I know Holmes stretched out to, what, three innings? Was that three? Yeah, he did pretty well. And I like the signing. I think Holmes will be good for the Mets, but still, you know, an unknown based on innings, et cetera, transition to a new role. I'm a Peterson fan. I think he's got good stuff. I like Senga. Obviously, you want to see him stay healthy, but I do like him. And now Manaea, you know, and we talk about the Mets here. It was always like, well, you got Manaea, and that, like, that was the constant. And then everything else, there was an element of, well, can he do this, or can he stay healthy, or is he going to be able to do this? Like, you just, you kind of started throwing some darts around and hoping it hit the right spot. Whereas Manaea, we all sat here saying, and I'm a big believer in him. I think he's really good. And, you know, I know that starting pitching has changed, and me and Sal talk about this a lot. You know, the way the Mets are built versus the way the Yankees are built and some other teams and philosophies and, you know, paying big money to starters versus like the Yankees do versus going out and trying it and doing it the Mets way, which was certainly successful a year ago. And we'll see what year two yields with Stearns and that laboratory, so to speak. But, you know, the division's going to be such where I think right now, I think, and I've said this too, I think the Braves are the best team in the East. I've had the Mets at two, and I've had the Phillies at three. I personally think that the Mets are, if I had to move their position, I think the Mets are a little closer to Philly than they are to the Braves, meaning I think they're a little closer to three than to one. Not by much. I think the Mets are a playoff team. But then you have the Dodgers, you have the Padres, you have a couple other good teams, right? I think the Cubbies will be better this year. I guess what I'm saying is, how long do you mess around without bringing in some sort of reinforcement? And I don't just mean an arm. I mean a guy who's good, you know? Because you heard Mendoza there in Jerry's update. Again, I don't think it's the worst news in the world, but it's certainly a bit dispiriting. It was so good for you a year ago. And the way these things go, shut down a couple of weeks, and then because he's a pitcher and because of the oblique and the unpredictable nature of it, well, I mean, anything that he's done so far in camp to build his arm strength up, he's going to go back to zero. He's going to have to reset. You can't throw. Can't throw at all. You know, you could probably do some cardio. You could definitely do some cardio. Controlled cardio, like on a bike. I don't even know if you're going to want to run poles because you're pumping your arms. And the thing about the oblique here, and by the way, the oblique is wrecked many seasons. So I don't want to just, I don't want to go nuts on this, and I also don't want to just brush it under the rug. So I'm kind of somewhere in between, but like worst case scenario, the worst case scenario, I mean, this could rob him of months, plural. So I hope that's not the case. Internally, I would think that this would ratchet up some urgency for the Mets front office to go and do something. We'll see. All right, 11:07 here. It's BT and Sal. 888-0-8-1019 on the fan. Sal is out. He is in Disney. It's a small world. Let me get Rob and Tom's River. What's happening, Robbie?
BT, what's up, brother?
Hey, man, how you doing?
Good, man. I completely agree with everything you just said. I mean, I don't think this is like a derailment, but now, you know, two of your top guys that you brought in the offseason are out. How do you not rebound with at least something small? Bringing Quintana back, Anthony DeSclafani's out there. Mm-hmm. Kyle Gibson had a 4 WAR last year. I think he's still out there. These are viable major league options that do more than help you just tread water.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. Let me ask you this here, Rob. I have my number or my grade. I'll give you a chance to give me yours first. So before the Montas injury, I don't know where you stood on the pickup event. Probably not over the moon, but whatever. Let's assume he's healthy. Let's assume Anaya is healthy. What do you grade the Mets rotation? What would you give it? Fully healthy?
B-.
Okay.
Full B-.
That's fair. I think that's a pretty good read. Now let's throw in the Montas injury. Let's throw in the Manaea injury and the uncertainty there. Does it go down to a C-minus or a C? Where it's
absolutely
it drops?
Accurate.
Okay.
Completely accurate.
All right. C-. Well, if that's the case,
Then and I tend to agree. And if that's the case, Rob, then yeah, you got to get on the phone. You got to bring somebody who's good. You got to do something. You know, like if the Mets were in the Central, either the American League Central or the NL Central, maybe they could mess around and, you know, have the boat take some water and then, you know, eventually get some buckets and get rid of it before it sinks. I don't think you've got that luxury in the NL East. You don't. Braves are good. Phillies are good. So I think they got to make a move. Now, I'm not saying you just give up, you know, three top prospects, you go bonkers, and you just do Dylan Cease today, but you got to have the conversation.
As far as the Mets are concerned, never been a Met fan, never will be, but they're top five in the National League. They're top eight in all of baseball right now. Enjoy the journey like we're doing with the Knicks. They're getting there. They're going to compete. I'm a Dodger fan. Am I excited? Yes. But unless they win, I'm not excited. You go to so many World Series and you only win one or two.
Yeah.
You know, what can you say?
Yeah.
But the Mets are going to be tough. I wouldn't want to play the Mets in the playoffs. I'm a Dodger fan. I don't want to see them in the playoffs. They're a tough, tough team.
Yeah,
the
they Knicks, are. I mean, Mets have a chance
to be good. The Knicks are 1 or 2 years away, BT.
Yeah.
1 or 2 years away.
Listen, we know what they're waiting for. We're waiting for those development of the young flame-throwing arms, the Sprouts and some others. And once that happens, that's, you know, now the Mets should be ready to roll because the position players are good. They're going to hit the ball. Yeah, he said something that's pretty interesting there. And I think, and I don't know how many would agree with this. It's just an observation. And I've said this before, and it's so counterintuitive. It really is. If you think about, all right, what's the essence of being a sports fan? Everything you do, every jersey you buy, every article you read, every X post you click on, the video to watch so-and-so talking about your team, all the games you go to, all the days you cross off the calendar leading up to the start of whatever season it might be. The mission is a championship. But he said something that's interesting. Like, once you get the championship, things change. And to me, this is just me, I've always enjoyed the journey more than the championship, you know? I do think there's a few examples here. Like, I think if you were to say, this is a million years ago, I don't want to just go back of the day, but it's the last time the Mets won a World Series, so I have to. But, like, when the Mets won in 86, I don't think now the older Met fan's going to sit there and say, yeah, I loved 84 and 85 when we were knocking on the door and, you know, it's coming up a few games short of the Cardinals, you know. That was more fun than 86. That's ridiculous. And the same with me. From a Yankee perspective, like when Buck finally transformed that group of misfits. I mean, God, what a disheveled group that was. Goodness, Chris Stumps, they were just awful. And then they started playing more buttoned up, and then you slowly start planting the seeds, and then 95 wild card was a blast, even though it ended with my guy Donnie, Crusher, and the 96 championship. Like, that's always fun. But specific to these Knicks, to bring it back to the current day, which is what it's about, and it's still in the ascending period, so I know what you mean. But if you come to the determination, and I've come to that, unfortunately, that this team will not win, that takes away the enjoyment of the ascent, of that little slow incremental rise, you know? Like, I don't think that they could win. I just don't. Yeah, and Les Kohler also said, yeah, it's unrealistic to expect the Knicks to win this week. Why? I got to push back on that. Why? I mean, they would have won last year. They would have been in the Eastern Conference Finals a year ago. If OG doesn't get hurt, they're winning that. And then they would have probably gotten mopped in the championships in the conference finals. But they would have been in the ECF. And take the core of that team. And, you know, obviously you lose who they lost in Artenstein and DiVincenzo. But you add a 25-10 guy. And then you add a 3-D. You know, above average three-point shooter. Elite wing defender. I guess he was. In Bridges. Yeah, I'm not supposed to expect that this team could win a championship. Yeah, that's the expectation. Damn straight. It's not like Karl Anthony Towns is 24. Karl Anthony Towns will likely never be better than what he's going to be either this year or next year. Just look at his body. Look at the way he moves. Look at his age. Look at the miles on his odometer. He's not going to get better. So it's frustrating. It really is.
All right. We started the show today. You can go back on the Odyssey app, rewind to the 2 o'clock hour with Evan simply stating, are you worried? Yankee fans with Stanton, Mets fans with Manaea. The are you worried carries over to 5 o'clock. I'm here to give you my updated list of the five pitchers most likely to win the most games for the Mets this year.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Number five.
Paul Blackburn.
Mm.
Woof. That's where I'm at with five.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Keep going.
Go ahead.
Number four.
Jose Buda. Going to win games in the bullpen early, but like we've talked about, more pitchers fall. Maybe he gets those starts late in the year.
Could end up in the rotation.
Could end up in the rotation and runs off some wins.
Yeah. I think Carlos,
carry over the combo.
I think Mendoza said early in spring training, if he ends up back in the rotation, that's probably not a good thing.
Because
it means there were a lot of injuries,
but we're getting
there. He has pitched well as a starter.
All right, here we go.
Number three.
Number three, I'm putting Kodai Senga here. And you're going to yell and scream and say it was only 1 year. I'm very interested in his health throughout a whole season here this year.
Well, I'm not going to yell and scream. I'm going to explain calmly to you and others when people say Kodai Senga is injury prone. He's been here for 2 years, one of which was a brilliant rookie season, and the other was completely riddled by injuries. So does that mean he's injury prone? I think this is the tiebreaker. I think if he comes out and he only makes 12 starts this year because of injury, I would agree with you. But if he goes out and makes 32 starts again, I think that last year could be viewed as maybe an aberration.
All right, here we go.
Number two.
Clay Holmes, top of the rotation for now. And you never know, maybe he's a guy later in the year, wins some games out of the pen.
I am very high on Clay Holmes. And there's a few reasons why. It's not just the 3 innings he pitched in a spring training game. But I like him to make this transition. And we've seen guys do it. We saw Seth Lugo do it. We've seen Jordan Hicks do it. Like, the reliever becoming a starter and actually having success is not crazy. So I don't think I'm being like some crazy delusional optimistic Met fan. I'm not necessarily joining Tommy in his bet with you that Clay's going to have a better year than Max Fried, but I like him. I'm very excited about what we're going to see from Clay this year.
All right, here we go.
Number one.
The number one pitcher on the Mets, I think, will win the most games this year now that we know Manaea's hurt for now. I think it's David Peterson. Had that run that kind of saved them in August last year. I think that we end this year and David Peterson's unquestioned starting opening day next year.
Well, that would be a great thing, David Peterson.
That's
blossoming.
That's my optimism shade for you, is that Peterson has a big year.
The only issue I have with your list is that Sean Manaea may only miss 3 or 4 starts. To delete him and put him behind Jose Buda and Paul Blackburn as a guy who, look, I'm not a big win guy anymore, but I'll play your game, and put him not even in the top five, I think is crazy. Like, are you that confident this oblique is going to cost him 2 months or something?
My gut instinct following this and dealing with pitcher injuries and seeing this, I don't think we see Manaea until the end of May.
Well, that would be bad.
I know it would be. By the way, I could be completely wrong. I think that they're going to play it on the safer side more than the elevated side.
I would tell you this to my fellow Met fans, and I'll go deeper on this when I do a Rico Brogna later tonight once my entire family is sleeping.
Jeez.
This is the Rico Brogna podcast.
My worry meter on Manaea will go up based on the next few weeks. The next few weeks are very important. And you may say, well, what the hell is going to happen in the next few weeks?
Of course, they're at spring training.
Well, is he going to throw?
Right.
Is he going to recover? Is he going to begin his spring training?
How much is he going to get ramped up by the end of spring training?
Right. Look, it takes 6 weeks. It's not like, oh, he's healthy, let's go. So I think, because Mendy kept it open-ended earlier today, he said he could throw in 7 days. He could throw in 14 days. He could throw in 21 days. If he's not throwing, and we're sitting here 3 weeks from now, well, every day he doesn't throw, the longer his loss will extend into the season. And the more starts you're going to ask from guys like Griffin Canning and Tyler Miguel, and that's not even my worry. My worry is when you go deeper into the depth, the bowels of the depth, if you will, and now you're asking Justin Hagenman to make a start or Brandon Waddell to make a start. And I get it. You're like, who the hell is that? That's the point. That's where the depth really gets tested, because their young arms, like Sproat and Didwell, they're not ready. They're not going to make starts in the month of April.
If I had to ask you right now,
yes,
you could pick any pitcher on the Mets staff, knowing what we know now, or Severino in an A's uniform. Does Severino win more games as a starting pitcher this year than any Mets starter?
No. I'm going to say no on that. I'm not confident Seve's.
And wins aren't everything, but you get the point.
Wins aren't everything, but I'm not confident Seve's going to have a tremendous year. By the way, I do have to disagree with something.
Mm-hmm.
I have to disagree with both of you, because I like to check out what Tommy and Sean are tweeting over the weekend. I always find it curious.
But you know, you are something else.
You say check. I would say the authorities would call it stalking, but that's fine. You like
well,
to stalk
you
us.
Put stuff out in social media. I read it. I mean, what is it there for?
But you, there are times you act like you're not paying attention to anything me and Tommy are, and then you go, oh, by the way, I checked every move you made.
So wolf in sheep's clothing.
Sometimes I don't check it. This weekend I did.
All right.
So I've got an issue with a Tommy tweet. I have an issue with a Sean tweet.
All right. Go ahead.
The Tommy tweet was, I love the fight on both ends in the third quarter. I mean, there's nothing to love about getting your ass kicked by the Boston Celtics. So I thought, unless you're making positive Tommy, like positive Nick Tommy.
How dare you?
I thought that was PT.
I thought that was very lame.
No, 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 how dare you? So that's not the full tweet. That was the first line in the tweet. So how dare you mislead the audience?
I'll read the entire tweet. I love the fight on both ends in the third quarter, but the bottom line is 0-7 against the Celtics, Thunder, Cavs, and the results haven't been close. Yeah, but you started with, I love the fight. There should be no love written in a tweet after your team gets its ass kicked.
And the Knicks are rolling extremely. They were dude heavy. Shut up, Tommy. They were on pace to lose by 30. They showed me in the third quarter what I want to see through four quarters. So I gave you a positive first, and then I gave but the bottom line.
Disagree. Now let me get to Sean. Sean, and like this is the problem I run into with Sean. Because his excuse sometimes when he tweets something dumb, Lukey doesn't do this, is, well, I was just trolling. That's just what I do.
No.
And I'm like, well, that's ridiculous. Like, can I respond to something you said without you just running away from it saying, well, you know, just that's what I was doing. I trapped you. I got you into a trap.
I want to make one thing clear. I don't know what the tweet is.
Okay.
Usually toilet tweets are the ones where I'm entrapping people.
It's always a toilet or you're boozing or your cousin's over or somebody you went to high school with. There's always a reason for what you do. You're just a jerk.
Non-toilet tweets are usually standard. So what do you got?
All right. So you here's the crazy part, Tommy. Sean tweets so much.
I do.
I can't even find it. Like, he tweets so often that it gets lost in the ether. Unlike Sean, who I'm like, I saw it.
You mean Lugie? Yeah.
Lugie, I
tweet less often than Sean. My tweets are more prominent. Your tweets are more just like volume.
So, in a response to a tweet mocking Carlos Rodon's performance over the weekend, Sean wrote, he would be the ace of the Mets rotation.
Yeah, this is fact.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's not.
Yeah, Rodon on his best day is better than any Mets starter.
He's better than Kodai Senga?
Yes, we've seen more.
On what? Kodai Senga?
Can we see Senga for more than one decent year?
See Carlos Rodon with the Yankees for more than 1 year? That wasn't even decent last year.
Rodon wasn't very good last year.
Don't even want to start him in the playoffs.
Don't get upset because it uncovers the warts of the Mets. Every Met fan knows their rotation's an issue. Yes, I know this sounds crazy.
I know the rotation's an issue, but I'm...
If the Mets signed Rodon to that salary and it was Rodon your ace, yes, he is. Yes,
he is. Oh, so now you're saying because he makes a lot of money.
Well, that's part of it, too.
I think Kodai Senga's better.
Okay.
So anyway,
the fact that it's even a conversation should tell you something about the Mets rotation. Right. But that, feel better. There.
I got that both off my chest.
And you could say I responded to Pete Hoffman from the Rico.
Oh, was it Hoffman who did
it?
Yeah, it's true. Absolutely. I'm looking at it now. Hoffman
trolled the Yankees.
Well, Hoff's another guy that needs a hobby. He tweets too much.
Carlos Rodon, 2 2/3, 5 hits, 3 runs. Hoff writes, unfortunately, this is regular season form.
Yeah. So, okay.
All right. Now let's get to what's important. The New York Yankees have finally decided that they're not going to play Frank Sinatra's version of New York, New York after they lose. And I want to commend Keith McPherson, our co-worker, because Keith has not only been really kind of rallying against this for a while, and I know a lot of us have talked about it, but there's a difference between talking about it and rallying against it.
Yeah.
Keith has rallied against it to the point where he had T-shirts made, don't play Frank after losses.
KM to AM.
I commend Keith McPherson.
I do, too, as a Yankee fan, because it's one of those things that I think unanimously all Yankee fans agreed was patently absurd, because we used to get Liza Minnelli's version after losses.
Yes.
So ever since it's been Frank Sinatra's version, it's something every time it happens, you know, you could turn to somebody next to you walking on the stadium and everybody agrees the same thing. But I guess nobody had the passion enough to vocalize it like Keith did.
Very passionate. Yes.
And bless him. This is great.
And I agree with him. Now, I say that as a Met fan, so it didn't bother me the way I'm sure it bothered Keith and other Yankee fans. But the Yankees, all of a sudden this weekend, and the only reason it was revealed is because they lost a spring training game and played another Frank Sinatra song. So technically, Keith's T-shirts aren't fully accurate because...
That's Life was the name of this one.
Right. It's still Frank. It's just not that Frank.
And a better Frank song, by the way.
All right. I'm not starting that fight. But Keith's mission was completed, even if it's, you know, still a Frank Sinatra song. So it gets confirmed by Brian Hoek after they play That's Life by Frank Sinatra, and it's confirmed by the Yankees, yeah, we are going to play a different Sinatra song after each loss. That's the way it was left. So it may not be That's Life every time. Right. It may be a variety of songs.
Summer wind came blowing in.
Which, by the way, if it was up to me, I wouldn't do that. Because, well, we're going to play Chicago, this toddling town, after the Yankees lose. Like, I wouldn't play Frank. I'd play a different song. I'd play somebody different
life,
completely.
That's Life is very fitting.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere. Applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.